As we continue our message today, we'd like to begin again on the point that he describes their privileges and thanks God for the grace by which they were preserved faithful in trials and difficulties. Peter calls them the elect of God, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. In Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Of Jesus, Peter also says that he was likewise in the mind of God the Father before the world began. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "For as much then as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." You see, believers are sanctified by the Spirit of God. And we recognize that Jesus Christ also, from the foundations of the world, was to be manifest in the fullness of time, in the last times, as Peter says, for us. And just as God did have you and I in mind from the foundations of the world, according to his foreknowledge, that we might be his elect, God also had Jesus Christ in his foreknowledge that he would be sent in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, that he might be brought forth as the Son of God, that he might be manifest, that he might receive in himself the fullness of God, and that he might be very God, he might be man and God, the God-man. And we find that the foreknowledge of God is in eternity past, as well as extending into eternity future. And so let us look at this passage again in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." And so, in this second portion, we find that we are not only the elect of God and part of the foreknowledge of God the Father, but that we are sanctified of the Spirit of God. The word sanctified, of course, means to be properly purified. That is, we are to enter into a state of purity concretely, in the sense that we are to be holy unto God, that we are to be set apart unto God, and that this sanctification is a work of God, and it is by the Spirit of God, or through the Spirit of God. And so we find that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. As the Spirit of God works in our lives to bring us into the family of God, that we might be known as the children of God, so it is that we are brought into this relationship, and God means for us to enjoy those privileges to which he has bestowed upon us. And so we recognize the work of the Holy Spirit of God, that Spirit which is of God, that Spirit which has the mind of God in view to accomplish his purposes in setting us apart as his children, as his elect. The work of God on the behalf is unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. This we also see in verse 2, as he says, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. The work of God on our behalf was not in half measure. in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 we read, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now here is also a great work of God, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And because of the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill the very will of God in this matter, because of the sprinkling of the blood of Christ that he accomplished himself for us, that we might know the full atonement of the blood of Christ on our behalf, we find that we have been brought into this relationship, a relationship of being known as the elect of God, chosen of God, and a relationship and privilege known as being set apart by God and being sanctified unto him, and that we ourselves are to enter into that life of obedient faith, and that we are to honor God and to glorify him with our lives. But you see, it could not have been possible apart from the obedience and blood of sprinkling of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the one who made this efficacious. He made it all possible. Therefore, we enjoy these privileges. The next privilege we see in verse 2 is grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, in this twofold aspect of grace and peace, we find that it is something that we do enjoy much. For it is by the grace of God that we have come unto the place of salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is by the grace of God that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that grace and favor which he has bestowed upon us is that grace which is of God. And it is that peace which we know because we know the God of peace, that we can have peace in our lives. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, so said the Lord to his disciples. And so it is that we should dwell in that sense of the privileges of God. And you see, to the believers in these various provinces to which Peter was writing, who were scattered abroad, these believers throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia, these various believers of the household of faith, we know needed that encouragement to which we ourselves also are very much in need of, that we might know that we are the elect of God, that we are the called of God, that we are sanctified of God, that we are foreknown of God, that we are the recipients of the obedient faith of one who walked before us, one who lived the life of purity, one who lived the life of true fullness in God, as he was, as in Christ is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so we find that because of the obedient faith of one, the Lord Jesus Christ, we find the blood of sprinkling of the Lord Jesus Christ making possible the very grace and peace of God unto us as well. Thirdly, the spiritual benefits they were to receive out of their afflictions are made known to us as we look further here in this passage. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. As we consider now the next aspect of the privileges to which we receive, we find that these privileges may be also called benefits. Benefits because they are those things which we receive because of God's work upon us, work in us, and that that saving grace of God has blessed us and so that we also do bless God by these very things. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so first of all, we have been begotten of God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so we find that as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and counseled him as to how he might see the kingdom of God, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We are begotten of God unto a living hope in Christ. We have been begotten again by the Lord Jesus Christ. Begotten, that is, that we have been born from above. And so begotten unto a lively hope. And this lively hope, of course, is a living hope. It is a hope which is in Jesus Christ. And so he has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Christ is, therefore, a figure of the hope of eternal life. And baptism pictures that hope of resurrection and life. Peter also says in chapter 3 and verse 21, The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we find that this resurrection which Christ himself did accomplish for us, that is, he resurrected from the dead upon the third day of his own power, did God resurrect him and brought him forth unto that first fruits from the dead. We find that in like figure, even as we are baptized, we also are brought forth now with a good conscience toward God, because faith has wrought in us such a miracle of grace that we have been saved unto the fullness of life in Jesus Christ. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ. The believer will inherit all things in Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. How precious it is for us to realize that such hope is laid up for us. It is a living hope, a true hope. It is a hope which lives within us of the grace of God. In 2 Timothy 4:8, Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The believer, then, has this wonderful privilege of knowing God because God foreknew him. The believer then has this wonderful privilege of knowing God because God has set us apart through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The believer then has this wonderful privilege because of the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ, because of Christ's obedience, and because of his full atonement on our behalf. The believer has this privilege of grace and truth and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ because of God's work in the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. And so it is that these benefits have been communicated to us, and that we now bless God the Father. We now know him because of his abundant mercy. We now realize of the relationship that we have to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We are begotten again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so this is a wonderful aspect of the believer's privileges and benefits that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, we see in verse 4 that we also have a great inheritance, and this inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled. The believer is kept by the power of God through faith. The power of God through faith. How important it is that we realize of this wonderful truth. Let us read also verse 5 with verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now we find that this is a very important aspect of our relationship to Christ, that we are kept by the power of God. The word kept here actually means to guard, as it is someone being mounted upon the wall of a sentinel post, and one who is figuratively guarding a certain garrison or outpost, and is guarding that outpost. We find that God has kept us in such close relationship to Him that we are guarded, or we are protected, or we are under His watch care, as it were, and that He is protecting us in that relationship that we have with Him. That is, we have the security of the believer. We have this relationship. It is a relationship that we have by the power of God. And as it goes on to say here in verse 5, who are kept, who are guarded by the power of God through faith. And of course, this power of God is one which is very forcefully and figuratively, specially, miraculously even, by implication, it has an abundance of meaning to it, wherein we find the power, the strength of God, and the might of God on our behalf, that is, that God means to keep us according to His own power and His own might. If it was left up to us, we would find ourselves in a very precarious situation. We would find ourselves very much in need of someone to help us through this great work of salvation. But it is God who has saved us. It is God by His grace who has done this work in us. And it is God in His salvation which is accomplishing this very thing. And so we are called to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Now, if we were to talk about heaven and the inheritance that we have in heaven, it would take some time. But for the sake of time this morning, we will just briefly mention these things. But we know that because we are the elect of God, because we are sanctified of God, because we have received of the Lord Jesus Christ such sprinkling of the blood of Christ, and have such benefits whereby we know of the mercy of God, and that we are begotten of God by His grace, and that we are recipients of these things because of the resurrection of Christ, we know also that we shall receive an inheritance, one which is possible because of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and that we find ourselves being kept by the very power of God. And so this morning, let us just conclude by saying this. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, take particular note this morning and be much encouraged that God means to keep you and preserve you in faith. And we find that faith, which we shall know even unto the end of our salvation, will be revealed at that last time. That is, Christ Himself will come. He is the true object of our faith. In fact, He is called the object and He is called the author and finisher of our faith. And even as we recognize that faith is the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you might be much encouraged and blessed in these things that we have spoken about this morning. For it is that the Lord Jesus Christ means for us to realize of the privileges that we have. in the Lord Jesus Christ. He means for us to be aware of the benefits that we have. He means for us to realize then of the preservation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that preservation should lead to those certain blessings which we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father has purposed all these things even from the foundations of the earth. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit and unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us just close by saying this. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. In Jesus' name, amen.